A mining company is one step closer to drilling for copper, gold, and other metals in northern Wisconsin. It's Wednesday, February 4th, and this is Wisconsin Today Morning News. Good morning, I'm Alex Crow. Coming up on the show today, Republican Senator Ron Johnson says he's not on board with President Trump's call for Republicans to, quote, take over elections in some states. And a Madison author explores the question of why we write. Stay with us.
Hi there, it's Rachel Martin from NPR News. I am proud to work with stations around the country, including WPR, to bring you news that you can trust. We search out the backstory, give voice to the diversity of our nation, question along with you, and share moments of beauty, moments of joy. This comprehensive reporting is possible thanks to listener contributions. Be a part of this important work when you give at WPR.org. Thanks.
A mining company is one step closer to drilling for copper, gold, and other metals in northern Wisconsin. As Danielle Kading reports, the State Department of Natural Resources approved Greenlight Wisconsin's plans to expand exploration in Taylor County.
The company must meet around two dozen conditions to drill up to 20 holes as it explores the Bend deposit on U.S. Forest Service land. The deposit has around 4 million tons of ore that contains primarily copper and gold. Molly Gardner is the DNR's metallic mining coordinator.
In order for work to commence on site, Greenlight will have to provide proof of the adequate bonding. They will need to provide us with the U.S. Forest Service approval, and they'll need to provide 48-hour notice.
Greenlight has yet to provide any of that. A company official says it expects to have everything in place soon. Tribal and environmental advocates are worried about the company's plans to drill in and around wetlands. Greenlight must get another permit if it drills at sites containing wetlands. Danielle Kading, Wisconsin Public Radio.
A second data center development is being proposed in Beaver Dam. A local economic development group and a developer presented their plans to the Beaver Dam City Council this week. According to a memo from the city administrator, the developer is looking to build a data center on a 13-acre site currently owned by the city. Officials say it would be much smaller than Meta's data center campus currently under construction. Diane Holland lives in Dodge County. She was one of around a dozen people who spoke out against the proposal.
I hope you're really, really listening to us. The first one is a mistake. The second one, man, don't go through with that. You've heard us. The first one you weren't transparent about. I hope you are being on the up and up and being transparent now.
The council did not vote on the proposal this week. It could review a draft development agreement at a future meeting. Republican Senator Ron Johnson says he does not agree with President Donald Trump's call for Republicans to, quote, take over elections in states. But as Rich Kramer reports, Johnson says he does think national standards would be, quote, fitting and proper.
In a Monday interview, Trump said Republicans should nationalize election administration in up to 15 states, but wouldn't say which ones. During a telephone town hall Tuesday, Johnson said he's not on board.
I do not want to see us nationalizing elections. I do believe it's fitting and proper to set some basic standards for federal elections, like only citizens can vote.
Johnson was referring to Republicans' SAVE Act legislation pending in the U.S. House that would require documents like passports or birth certificates in order to register to vote. Groups like the League of Women Voters of Wisconsin say the SAVE Act could block eligible citizens from casting ballots. Johnson also said he thinks the nation has gone too far with early voting, and he opposes mail-in ballots. Rich Kramer, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Inflation and budget shortfalls are plaguing some public libraries in Wisconsin. South Milwaukee residents will decide in an April referendum whether to approve a $425,000 levy increase to fund the city's public library. The library's budget has decreased by almost 20% since 2019. That's left it with limited staff, fewer new materials, and the lowest number of open hours among Milwaukee County libraries. If approved, the levy increase would fund more staff, programming, and longer hours. Bethany Mayer is the library's executive director. She says if the referendum does not pass, there could be further cuts to their staff and resources.
I think in a way it kind of just continues to become a shell of what it was.
Other communities in Wisconsin are facing similar problems. The La Crosse Library Board voted in December to close one location. Menominee Falls shifted funds from its library to the police department. The director of Milwaukee's Violence Prevention Department is stepping down. Evan Casey explains why.
Adam Procell was convicted of homicide when he was 15 years old. He spent more than 20 years in prison. After his parole in 2018, he focused on helping other people who had been incarcerated. That work was part of what led the mayor to appoint him as director of Milwaukee's Office of Community Wellness and Safety last summer. His criminal record didn't prohibit him from serving in that role, but the office became a standalone department this year. The city attorney now says Procell can no longer be the director. That's because the Wisconsin Constitution says convicted felons cannot be department heads. Procell spoke about the resignation at a press conference.
I don't have any ill will towards anybody. I don't think anything was done maliciously. I don't blame the Common Council. I don't believe that they knew ahead of time.
Procell's resignation is effective February 11th. Evan Casey, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Coming up, why do we write? A Madison author shares his story. Stay with us.
Wisconsin Public Radio brings the state together. With reports from our 8 bureaus around the state, WPR is your connection to the pulse of Wisconsin. We are your source for in-depth news from Wisconsin, the U.S., and the world.
And finally, it's time for Wisconsin Life. Here's producer Maureen McCullum with a story about a Madison author's biggest inspiration.
Every author, poet, and musician has a list of writers who have inspired them. Writer Brian Bartles of Madison has a long list of creatives who have shaped him, but at the top is someone near and dear to his heart.
Ask any writer to tell you their influences, and you will hear the great names passed around. Joan Didion, John Steinbeck, Toni Morrison. While these writers always impress me with their literary swagger, the most influential writer I've ever known never had a New York Times bestseller, but easily carried a more distinguished title, Grandpa. When my grandfather, Roland Bartles, retired in the early 1980s, he decided he did not want to sit and watch television every day. Most men in Roley's small Wisconsin hometown of Shawano talked about hunting, fishing, and the Green Bay Packers. So he decided to challenge his comfort zone and try a local writing class consisting of the teacher, six other local women, and himself. Roley suffered from arthritis, and his hands often shook. He couldn't write longhand very well, but he figured he could type if the opportunity presented itself. So my grandmother Stella purchased a typewriter for him from St. Vincent's, and at 72 years young, Grandpa Bartles became a writer. Roley made the written word a priority in his daily life. He typed one finger at a time, one page a day, and he enjoyed the challenge of capturing the world on that single page, harboring one simple objective. Fill the page with a topic important to you, and that's a day well spent wondering about the world. For writers, inspiration comes in many forms. There are hundreds of excuses to not write. But why do we write? If you have ever had the chance to drop by Joseph Leonard, a cozy restaurant in the heart of New York's Greenwich Village with many Wisconsin ties, inside you will find a framed, typed letter written by my grandpa Bartles. I helped open Joseph Leonard in 2009, and Gabriel Stallman, the owner, a University of Wisconsin grad, was so touched when he read my grandfather's Why Write. He wanted to frame it and hang it somewhere everyone could see it. We ended up hanging it in the bathroom. It became so popular, we had to reconsider how to share it with everyone, as people were repeatedly happy to steal the framed copy on the wall. So we made copies with a sign attached to the letter saying copies available at bar. And eventually, we made the letter into postcards we handed out as check presenters, and the response was quite overwhelming. It became a conversation stimulant for people attending the restaurant and offered me a chance to speak about my grandpa as though he were still living larger than life and share a little of his story. Even certain celebrities, like Robin Wright of The Princess Bride, asked for copies, inspired by the letter's genuine sentiment. The domino effect of his letters achieved something he never imagined when writing down his thoughts. His words lived on and were connecting to other artists, igniting their own artistic creativity. My grandfather loved words the way I hope you love words. He discovered them on his own terms and used what he could find to craft an ongoing wonder of our literary ecosystem. He delighted in the sounds they made inside his head, the way they unfurled as he danced across their landscapes. He was a literary hero on his own terms, the way many other people are who take to writing with the appropriate respect and discipline it warrants. If I am ever weary or losing focus on a writing assignment or challenged by the rigor and distractions of daily life, I think of my grandpa at his tiny writing desk. Stories are bridges, and writers are the engineers responsible for the blueprints of their design. The end of Grandpa Bartle's lovely one-page manifesto is a reflective nod to those special connections we find and appreciate as we maneuver through the legacy of our time on Earth. "I just love putting words on paper," he says. "I wish I found this out earlier in life." I hope you find some joy and inspiration from his letter for your own creative pursuits.
Brian Bartles is an author who lives in Madison. Wisconsin Life is a co-production of Wisconsin Public Radio and PBS Wisconsin in partnership with Wisconsin Humanities. Additional support comes from Lowell and Mary Peterson of Appleton. Find more Wisconsin Life at wisconsinlife.org and on Facebook and Instagram. I'm Maureen McCollum.
And of course, we'll end with a quick check of your forecast. Mix of sunshine and clouds across the state today. High temperatures getting into the 20s across all of Wisconsin. Clouds will return overnight. We could see some snow in northern Wisconsin, and pretty cold with low temperatures in the single digits and teens. Wind speeds picking up a little bit overnight as well, near about 15 miles per hour. And that'll do it for this Wednesday. Thanks for joining us for Wisconsin Today Morning News. I'm your host, Alex Crow, and our producer today was Courtney Everett. Have a great rest of your day. We'll talk to you again soon.